isn't it, that high, that little one? There's a young teenage couple sitting out on the porch swing at her parents' home in the mountains of North Carolina. They would go out there with private time, and they would just dream of the future and all the things they were going to do. She was talking about going to college. He would mention maybe joining the military or getting a job or going to a trade school. And this particular evening, he was feeling the Spirit. And as he started his goodbye, he, for the first time, gave her a kiss. And he said, "I would swim the deepest oceans for you. I would cross the widest rivers for you. I would scale all of these mountains for you." And then as he turned to go, he turned back to her and he said, "I'll see you next Friday if it don't rain." For me, I resonate with how easy it is to say words and how difficult it is to have them proven by my actions. What about you? Most of us know the Sunday school answers. We know we are to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. But when push comes to shove, it's often quite a struggle to apply those things. Easy to say, much harder to do. And it is comforting to know that the Bible has a lot to say about that struggle. And as we look, we're talking about keeping the main thing, the main thing. The former president and CEO of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Dal Shealy, who coached for a time at the University of Richmond, he is a good old Tennessee boy. And he wouldn't move his mouth when he talked. That was one of his sayings. He would say, "Main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing." Like, "Coach, you should have been a ventriloquist." That's amazing right there. And part of this is, again, they asked Jesus, "What's life all about? What's the greatest commandment?" And he said, "It's actually in two: to love God with all your heart, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." He didn't say there weren't any other commandments. He said all the other commandments were built on the foundation of this, the command to love. And so this is absolutely paramount that we get this right. I want to challenge us with this mind shift, from freedom and how we approach freedom. Because it's easy. I've seen a lot of Christians approach this freedom and say, "Hey, we're free to sin, not free from sin." And in this context of love, instead of "I am free to love, I receive God's love and I'm free to share it," versus "I have total freedom and I'm free from responsibility to love." Last week we looked from this passage at, it's God's initiative, as Mitch just read. We love him because he first loved us. That's the why, that's our motivator. And it's really good for us to remember, he did this for us when we were unlovable. I have one son, my one and only, my only begotten. Would I give him up for you? Would you give up your son? And just think, wow, what a sacrifice. That is the type of love that we are talking about. Here's the big idea for today. Loving others authenticates our love for God. And it's pretty clear from that scripture. I entitled this sermon because I'm required to give a title. I'm not a real formal guy. You guys have me really buttoned up. Like, I might not look like it, but this is pretty fresh for me, if I'm being honest. I put long pants on just for you. The title of The Real Deal, because I think each of us wants to be that. Wants to be authentic, wants to be genuine, not counterfeit. Demonstrating love for others authenticates our love for God. It doesn't earn God's love. It just proves its existence. Let's look at a couple of verses from this passage that was read. Verse 7, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another." Now this is assuming we've started, and let's keep it up. "For love comes from God. He's the source. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God." We become an extension of his love. And demonstrating love points others to God. Verse 16, "We know how much God loves us." I hope we do. We just need to remember the incredible grace and forgiveness that he's extended to us. Do you remember that? When you first were conscious of God's love and you were overwhelmed that with all of your faults, there was open acceptance from a holy God. Do you remember that? It's good to reconnect with that. We have put our trust in his love. We've entrusted our very selves, our very lives. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God equals love. Do you see how loving others authenticates our love for God? It's really nice as a Christian to get some glimpse of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Maybe you see, I'm more patient with this person than I used to be. I'm connecting the dots of God is so patient with me, and I'm trying to extend that patience with other people. Is your love growing? You know, I'm listening to my own sermons. I was in Panera, which is my hangout. And pet peeve, there's a guy in there, and he's got his phone, and he's playing a game on his phone, no headphones, full volume, and he's not sitting far from me. By the way, this isn't a manners class, but most of the people who do that are older people. Have you noticed that? I'm serious. I don't know why. It's technology, I guess. Like having a FaceTime chat full volume, like, I guess I get to meet your daughter Tammy at Panera today. And I was annoyed by this guy because I'm trying to concentrate. And then I looked at him and I thought, you know what? He had to look like maybe he's homeless. I thought, he's got bigger fish to fry in his life than to worry about the volume on his phone. And hopefully I have more in my life going on than to be annoyed by some guy's volume. And honestly, I connected at a love level with him to think, all right, what am I compassionate towards him? What's going on with him? And I did. I felt I was no longer annoyed. I was actually concerned. You know, how's this guy doing? What's he got going on that he can steal a few minutes to go into a Panera and charge his phone and play a game? You know, part of this is why we have to really resist boiling all of Christendom down to praying a prayer to ask Jesus into your heart so when you die, you escape hell and you go to heaven. It's easy in this country to think it's just about me and Jesus. And as one guy said, then why is the Bible so thick? There's a lot more to it. It may not be less than that, but we know it's certainly more than that. This is the Christian life that the Lord has called us to. We are following in the footsteps of a servant. We're following in the footsteps of someone who loves well. And to say, I am a Christ follower, I need to line up with his priorities. Loving others authenticates our love for God. Now, here's the flip side of the coin from the same passage. My lack of love repudiates my love for God. Look at these two verses, 8 and 20 in that passage. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Whew. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is having a bad day. No, that person is a liar. That's some strong language. For if we don't love people, we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? You know, Christianity is mystical in its essence, but it's incredibly practical in its application. And Mark Twain said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts of the Bible I do understand. And sometimes we get our highlighter out, and other times we want to take a Sharpie, right? And mark some stuff out, and this might be one of those. And I thought, here's an analogy for receiving and giving love. It's like breathing. We receive God's love, we inhale through prayer. And just those still couple second prayers, you close your eyes, you don't even have to close your eyes, but you say, God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for filling me to overflowing. May it spill out on other people. I read his word. I'm taking in his love. I connect with him through worship. Hopefully we sing throughout the week. I've always thought there's a little bit of a maybe hypocritical element. If I do something on Sunday morning, I don't do the rest of the week. And so it's a lot easier for me to sing on Sunday morning if I'm stealing some time, even while driving a car, to sing to the Lord. And as I do that, I'm inhaling him, and I'm being filled with his Holy Spirit. I'm being filled with his presence, his love, his grace abounds. But we don't stop there. Because if you just inhale and you don't exhale, you hyperventilate, right? Breathing is both. And so I exhale my love for others through service, through forgiveness, through compassion, showing grace, showing patience. We've got to have both. Again, this doesn't earn God's love. It authenticates his love. It's evidence that his love is in me. It's not meant to be stored up. It's meant to be shared freely. As one person said, there's no cul-de-sac Christianity. It's only thoroughfares. I've always been intrigued when you fly on a plane and that little safety announcement that goes something like, in the unlikely event of a loss of cabin pressure, right? An oxygen mask will descend from the compartment above you and grab the mask, pull it over your mouth and nose, and adjust the straps. And then this always gives me a little bit of a chuckle. And breathe normally. Okay. I feel calm. And then this final announcement. Those of you who are traveling with small children or passengers who need your assistance, what's the instruction? Be sure to affix your own oxygen mask first. It has to start with us. Why? Because we can't give what we don't have. And I occasionally on a plane will think, and just picture a mom with a couple kids, and of course they're scrambling and they're trying to take care of the kids, and all of a sudden their lack of oxygen affects them, and now they're in no place, they're in no position to help their children. And so this is a place where I think it's appropriate to say, me first. I need to be filled that I might give this love away. And that exhale authenticates my love for God. It proves that it's the real deal, that what we inhaled was genuine because we were able to share it. A loveless Christian is an oxymoron. And yet, we'll describe somebody that way. Oh, this guy's a Christian. He's really full of love. Like, it's really surprising, isn't it, to meet that Christian who's a really loving person. Like, why is that surprising? We've all seen the videos of some testimony where a guy says, well, I'm a God-fearing Christian and I'm a proud member of the Ku Klux Klan. Wrong answer, Matthew. Again, this sounds harsh. The word for that in this passage is a liar. You can't say you love God and hate your brother. And again, the right mindset is rather we're not free from the responsibility, but we're free to love. We're going to focus more on our responsibilities and our rights. And again, this is a concern of mine because I've seen it more and more in our modern American church in particular, where we've truncated the entire gospel down to the plan of individual salvation, how I can get to heaven. And I'm done. I'm pretty good. I'd be nice if I showed my neighbor love, but it's not really a requirement. I'm still going to heaven. And then it becomes a bit of a clique where we get together, some of those individuals, and we talk about those really dirty sinners over there who don't go to church on Sunday. We see you mowing your lawn. We judge you for it. Quiet in here this morning, by the way. Can you be a loveless Christian? Can you love God and not love your neighbor? Can you love God and not love your enemy? Can you love God and not love the least of these? Because when we look at Scripture, the testing point, the proof, the authentication of my love for God is my love for my neighbor. And then it goes further. The testing point, the proof, the authentication of my love for my neighbor is my love for my enemy and my love for the least of these. I'm just the messenger here. Loving others authenticates our love for God. What about you? How is your love for God based on how you are loving others? Here's a couple applications. You can pick one of these to do this week. Bonus points if you pick more than one. Gold star people will pick all three. One, could you mend a relationship? Is there someone there's distance and you could take the first step towards reconciliation? Who's the other that you can serve? Perform an act of love for someone, maybe on the margins. And then this daily examine. This is the Ignatius examine, it's called. It's a Jesuit meditation practice, and that is I inhale and I just take time to say, Did I receive God's love today? Was I mindful of how much he loves me and I'm aware of the grace that he has poured out to me? Did I spend time in his presence? And then, did I exhale? Did I express God's love today? Did I show it? Was I patient with my spouse? Ouch. Was I generous with a stranger? Did I show love even when it was costly? This isn't to condemn, but rather to realign and hopefully really encourage, because again, the first part of this, when I really, really am aware of how much God loves me, it's easy to love others. Because I can't give what I don't have, and when I'm very aware of how much he's forgiven me, how much he loves me, how much grace that he's poured out on me, it's a whole lot easier to extend that to other people. Let's pray together. Lord, would you fill us with your love? And Lord, would you open our spiritual eyes to see the need of love in others? God, even when they have a smile on their face, we could see the frown in their heart and know they need a touch from you. God, would you do through us what you desire to do in the lives of others? Lord, help us to allow your love to pour from us individually and collectively so that even supernaturally, people's spiritual eyes would be open to see it is Christ's love flowing through us, that we're not the source, but God is the source. Lord, give us a picture, give us a vision of what would happen if each person who calls Fawn Lake Church home does that daily, not just on Sunday, but all week long, that we would be the presence of Christ in our community. So be it, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.